glad to greet you again today. And we're happy that we can come and share portions of our worship service with you, because we feel that you are a continuing part of our fellowship here at church. Today's message deals with the unknown Christ, one who stands in our midst, and yet wonder how well we really know him, and how well we accept him as Lord, and how open we are to receive all the wondrous graces and benefits which he so graciously offers us. I hope there's a word in it for you. And I hope too that as you live through these days that the Lord has graciously given you, that he leads you through them and blesses you in them. Lord God, you who are the fountain of all that is excellent and beautiful in human life, once more we turn to you, unreplenished, needing renewal, weak, needing strength, tired, needing rest. We've tried to content ourselves with lesser things, but you have set eternity in our hearts, and so we are restless until we find rest in you. Into this community of your people, we have come to praise you with our lips. Save us from the ancient sin of acknowledging you with our words and denying you with our actions. Give us sincerity from the ungenuine, lead us to the genuine, from the unreal to the real. God, play upon the chords of our lives. We have often placed ourselves at the disposal of the discords of the world, but we've come to you that your spirit may touch the strings of our hearts. Touch the strings of our hearts with gratitude. If our complaints have been so many that we have lost perspective of thy favor, grant us wide horizons so that we might experience with the psalmist your steadfast love and be thankful for it. Remind us of the homes from which we have come, the high aspirations which we have. Touch too the strings of love. Awaken in us the spirit of friendship and kindness. Save us from resentment and cynicism. If someone has wronged us, help us to see afresh how someone has blessed us. Kindle goodwill in our lives so that our better selves may have opportunity for expression. Let benevolence and tolerance, understanding, compassion, and love possess our souls. Touch also the sterner chords of our lives. Awaken our devotion. We pray for work to do and the strength to do it. Send us into this agonizing generation where no man need waste his life in allegiance to the trivial, to find our tasks as your disciples in our homes, in the church, in the state, in our business life, and throughout the whole fraternity of mankind. That because we have lived and sought to be your witnesses, this earth may be a better place for you to raise your children in. Lord, hear now our prayers of intercession. Our concerns sometimes are not your concerns, yet we pray earnestly for your will to be done in all things. Visit our time through whatever means you please, and touch with your love and power those who stand in special and personal need. We now pray in our hearts. Those we now name in our hearts, those whom we know that we would pray for. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. In the 26th verse of that first chapter of John stands these words, are these words, among you stands the one you do not know. John the Baptist spoke those as people were inquiring about John's identity. He was one time confronted by a delegation from the organized church of his time. They said to him, "Who are you?" John finally answers that he is merely a voice seeking to prepare a man for the coming of one mightier than he, than himself. And in the course of his reply, he uses these nine words which stand out in my mind, or caught my attention at least the other day as I was reading the gospel. Among you stands the one you do not know. I like to make these nine words, take them and place them right in the middle of our gathering this morning. Among you stands the one you do not know. Now, John, of course, was referring to Jesus Christ. So we might say, among you stands Jesus Christ, whom you do not know. Now, I'm aware that in this modern world, modern church, the idea of a personal presence of Christ is gaining some strength among the neo-fundamentalists, but still remains an experience which slams in the door of many people's experiences. I have not observed very many people who really believe in the continuing, every day, every hour, every minute presence of the Spirit of Christ in their life. And so when we say, among you stands the one you do not know, we are speaking a truth that I believe all of us can experience or relate to. Now, in spite of all the belief we have around us today, it remains a fact that our modern world is afraid to believe. Several reasons for this. One of them is that we don't, if we believe, we are liable to get involved, to have to get involved. And we don't want that. Impersonality is today's keynote in our living. In the cities, they have apartment houses which are guarded by guards. We don't know our neighbors. In most of our business transactions, we are numbers, and so on down the line. There's a great hesitancy to believe these days. To believe in the sense that our faith is to send us forth into society and into the lives of others. A recent survey among young adult church members showed that the majority were not sure what they believed about Christ. And they were not at all sure even about the meaning of the term, the presence of Christ. I recall a few years ago, in the middle of the night, two young parents paced the corridor of Iowa Methodist Hospital with me. And their child is critically ill. And I find that although both are members of the church, they do not believe in eternal life. They do not believe in the power of prayer. They were not convinced that God was present and active in today's world. And I wondered at the time, in great agony, what can I say to them? I think their experience is not uncommon with you and with many people. But then in moments when I had time to think about it, I asked myself, how is it possible that people can be related to Christ's chosen community, the church, and yet have to confess them that among them stands one whom they do not know? I see too much evidence today that people are afraid to believe. Oh, I know there is rising among us a frantic kind of belief which seeks only, apparently, to get out of this world. But this world is here, and we are in it. We need a belief that says that Christ is present in this world. Christ is present in all of its stresses, in all of its strains. Christ is present in all of its evils and all of its hurts. And that's where we're sent. Not longingly and frantically for some day in the near future, some say, when we shall be released from this thin veil of tears and granted peace at last in some heavenly kingdom while this world continues, while God continues to love this world. I see too much evidence that people are afraid to believe and yet somehow seek the sanctuary of the Christian church. Perhaps that's the reason the church is weak and ineffective. Christ is unknown because we are afraid to believe, afraid to risk the commitment to others, the involvement such believing should compel of us. It might compel that we sacrifice, give up, and go to work for Jesus Christ. But still, among us stands one whom we do not know. The second thing we can say is that we have been taken, really taken. Modern advertising and communication have so shaped our sense of value that we have accepted the physical values and the material values of life in answer to the hungers of the soul. We eat, we drink, we indulge, and so who needs this ethical bit the church teaches and has been part of the Christian heritage for centuries? Why have concern for our neighbor? We pay taxes, and this covers welfare, and so why bother with mission? Why bother with foreign mission? Because we pay taxes and the government gives away billions of dollars in foreign aid each year. Repentance? Who needs to repent? If we do feel bad about something, we have a drug which will induce the kind of euphoria that'll help us get over it, at least temporarily. Lent is passé. What about sin? That's only a defunct church term to be dwelt upon by older people who have time to think and to regret. But most people are too busy living it up. In the framework of the value system which the world presents to us, than to be bothered by sin. Responsibility to God? Well, this involves the old idea that our main purpose is to glorify God, the God who created us. Well, who says God created us? Science can almost build a man a whole new body now, organ by organ. And some say that science is on the verge of creating life in the laboratory. We've really been taken. Someone said that we have created the IBM machine, an IBM machine which is so human that when it makes a mistake, it can blame another IBM machine. Arnold Toynbee tells us that of the 21 great civilizations, 19 have perished because of the evaporation of belief within. Is that happening to us? We can no longer see that we constantly substitute physical values for the spiritual power, the spiritual presence that our souls themselves, made in the image of God's Spirit, are hungry for. No way will a hefty bank account, a new car, a new home, or whatever No amount of carousing and forgetting things will fill the needs of your soul. We must confess that one stands among us whom we do not know, because we've really been taken. We've really been taken by our society, by its values, by modern advertising. We think that human values and material values can fulfill our spiritual needs. Then, I suspect that Christ is unknown because we're not too honest about our belief. We have deliberately, perhaps, put Christ in a pigeonhole so that his teachings, his presence, and his power will not complicate our lives. This is a familiar thing in the history of religions. Theodore Parker Ferris has written, "Once upon a time, the sun and moon were worshipped. Now they are only two of Earth's companions in space. To the Romans and Greeks, Juno and Jupiter, Mars and Venus, Mercury and Neptune were real and alive. No general ever started a campaign without consulting Mars. No lover ever went courting until he had set things up with Venus. Now they are only statues in museums. Men change their beliefs, and when it suits their convenience, they ship their gods off to Siberia, especially when those gods fail to fulfill the deepest needs of the human heart." Is that what we have done and are doing with the Christ? Shipping him off to Siberia. Is this 2,000-year-old Christ, who is to be experienced in faith, no longer important to you, to your life? Really now, isn't it time that some of us stop kidding ourselves? Isn't it time that we stop fooling around with this religion bit and get down to the Christian faith? Isn't it time to admit that we have definite lacks in our lives? Voids that only commitment to Christ can fill. Now, for some of you, I know that to be the case. You've chased after everything, or nearly everything. For some of you, it's time now to be honest with yourselves and to make a commitment to Jesus Christ, a commitment of your life. Quit fooling around. You know your life is empty. You can find that Christ can fill it. Christ stands among us as one whom we do not know, because we haven't even been honest with ourselves. We put him in a pigeonhole where he will not seriously affect our lives. Now, however, is the time, a crucial one, for us to admit that our half-hearted devotion, and offer him the full spectrum of our allegiance and our being. And then finally, for this morning, Christ is unknown because we have cheated ourselves. Not only have we been afraid to believe, not only have we been taken in, not only have we been dishonest about our commitment, we have cheated ourselves as well. The heart and life and vitalness of faith is to know the one who stands among us. Now, I don't care what we believe, because a set of beliefs, however correct, will not give us meaningful faith. The faith is a conviction about, an experience of, and a belief in the presence of Christ. He stands among us, here and now. Many people are like packages of old film, Some time ago, I picked up a package of film that I'd had around the house for some time, but I discovered it was not good because it had not been exposed before the date that was written on the side. So I tried it, but I had to throw it in the wastebasket. Some of us are like that film, doomed to end up undeveloped, underdeveloped at least, because we never allow ourselves to be exposed to Christ. We shall never be productive Christians until the very depths of our being and wills are exposed to Christ. Now I know that what I'm suggesting suggests that you open yourselves to a subjective experience of Christ. And that's quite contrary, I suppose, to the way many of us have thought through the years. Objectivity, logic, and so forth. Yet, objectivity and logic and ethics, though good, are inadequate to produce a sense of the presence of Christ. John Wesley, the fantastic and great founder of what became the United Methodist Church, had all logic and all ethics, and he added service and sacrifice and searching to that. He was a priest in the Church of England. He served as a missionary, but he did not become a powerhouse, to use a word, until he came to know the one who stands among us, the Christ. In his words, when he felt his heart strangely warmed. Christ is the one who tirelessly and endlessly searches for every stray sheep, for each one who feebly, stumblingly, blindly searches his way through life. Christ has a shepherd's heart, restless to hold the lost stray sheep in his arms. He's searching for us in the same fashion, searching, wanting, hoping that he can lift each one of us in his arms and let us know that we are his. Jesus said, if you know him, that is, if you know him, we will love him. If we love him, we will serve him. If we serve him, it will be evident in the way we live. So we've cheated ourselves. How much, some of us will never know, because we have not known the one who stands among us. Some Christians produce good fruit, others are like dead branches. To some, the Christian faith is a dull habit, to others, an acute fever. Some live in the daily vitality and strength of Christ, others, it can be said still, among you stands the one you do not know. May God forgive our fears and our blindness. Let us pray. Lord our Father, even now, through his spiritual being, your Son Jesus Christ, our Lord, stands in our midst. May we lift our eyes of our spirits to him and see him as he truly is. And may that vision, may that insight lead us to commitment. Lead us to full and vital and meaningful life that shall ultimately lead us into your eternal presence. Give us the will, first, to see him. Give us the strength, second, to follow him. Hear our prayer, we pray in Christ's name. Amen. Amen. Amen.